Okay. We'll call the Newburgh Planning Commission for October 8th.
October 8th.
October 8th, excuse me. November 12th to order. Sorry about that. Roll call.
Okay, Gary Bliss.
Here.
Jason Dale.
Here.
Philip Smith.
Here.
Kathy Stir.
Here.
And absent Alan Edwards, Matthew Fortner, and Patrick Johnson.
All excused, right?
Excused absent.
And, Mr. Chair, our student.
Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to speak to any item not on the agenda? Seeing none? We'll go to the consent calendar. We have the minutes for September 28th. Joint Planning Commission, City Council meeting minutes. Any comments, corrections?
Yeah, do you want to entertain a motion first and then correct? Which order do you want to do it in? Usually you entertain a motion and then we have comments, but I don't care. I have a comment.
Have a comment.
Okay. On the October 8th meeting minutes, under the staff report.
We're not there yet.
It's a comment. I thought you.
September 28th.
Oh, I thought you were doing both at once.
We may do them both at once.
Would you like to do them both at once? Let's do them both at once. I have comments on the October 8th. Under the staff report, the second to the last sentence said, "She discussed a letter from 1,000 Friends who are concerned about the employment safe harbor forecast starting from 2012 instead of more recent data." It's more complex than just that, is it not? And would it be clearer just to say, "She discussed a letter from 1,000 Friends who are concerned about the employment safe harbor forecast," period? It just seemed like there was a lot more to it than just that being the single issue.
You are correct. There were two portions to that. One was the safe harbor numbers and starting in 2012. Then the second piece of that was population numbers overall, and could we integrate in the county numbers into our comp plan, or do we have to just refer to them?
Right.
So there was those, both those pieces.
So either we should include both pieces, or my thought was just make it simpler and said they had an issue with that. And then on this same page, down at the very bottom, Planning Commissioner Kathy Stewart said, "Whatever numbers they started with, they had to know there would not be a challenge." If that could just read, said whatever numbers the city started with, that was the "they" there. So the point was, wherever we, the city, were going to start, we really wanted to know there wasn't going to be a challenge to them. I saw that, make it a little more clear. So those are my two proposed corrections to the October 8th meeting minutes.
Any further comments? Have a motion?
I'll move that we approve the consent calendar with those two corrections to the October 8th meeting minutes.
Second.
We have a move and second with the modification or corrections to the October 8th Planning Commission minutes. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Move on. We have, beginning now, a legislative public hearing for the population forecast and the comprehensive plan amendment, population amendment, CPTA 15-001. And we have staff?
Yes, thank you. Jessica Pell is planning. Just right off the bat, the resolution number is incorrect. We noticed a discrepancy this afternoon, so we need to adopt that as 2015-309, not 308. So it turned out that when you did the portable signs, you did two resolutions, including, took that number. So that'll be 309. So this is the changed version from what we had last month. After we went back and thought about it some more, talked about it some more, we decided the cleanest and easiest way is just to take out all the population projection stuff, not fight about it, not have to worry about fighting about it, take out the employment stuff, and then because we had submitted for that grant, which we don't know if we have gotten it or not yet, but we should know by the end of the month. So instead what we'll do is just, I changed the comprehensive plan amendment to update the historic population, so it's all consistent with census data through 2010. And then under population projections, I just changed it to reference the OAR 66024-30, talking about how we have to have a coordinated forecast and how Yamhill County coordinated with PSU to do the forecast, and that we will update our comp plan with our new projections once we receive them from PSU in accordance with the new rule. So in the meantime, we will be relying on the acknowledged 2012 Yamhill County coordinated forecast for any planning purposes we do. And that's it.
That's it. So,
now, question from the staff.
Commissioner Smith.
Relying on the 2012 numbers until 2017 is not that far away now, what do you or you and Steve imagine could be actions of the Planning Commission that we would take in the interim before we get the 2017 numbers that we might rely on these past numbers? My thought is if we rely on it for anything that is controversial, we're asking for trouble.
I think my opinion is that we're safe because the statute clearly says the interim forecasts you can rely on the adopted, acknowledged mm-hmm. county forecast, mm-hmm. and we have that, and DLCD has told us that, and that the rule says that, and I've attached that here. Things we might use it for in the interim would be like maybe a zone change, mm-hmm. a quasi-judicial UGB amendment, maybe like a site-specific, you know, if a property owner came in and asked, mm-hmm. Maybe annexation, things like that, that we might reference population numbers.
Doug Rocks, the other piece we probably do is we'll start with the county's numbers, working on the economic opportunities analysis and the housing needs assessment. But we anticipate that going through that process, if we get the grant or not, it's a 12 to 18 month long process. And so there may be the opportunity, timing wise, about when CPRC does the population, the new population projections for Region 3, which includes Yamhill County, we may be able to reinsert those new numbers into that analysis before mm-hmm. it ever gets adopted and brought forward to Planning Commission and the City Council for consideration. But again, it'll be a timing issue.
Commissioner?
Jessica, on page 13 of 17, it's Exhibit A, the draft plan amendment, under Item A, the historic population, mm-hmm. we probably need to change the title of that table because it now goes, is it 1963 through 2010?
Yeah. So just... Good catch. Yeah. Yes. Great catch.
Point.
I just saw it now.
I didn't
come prepared with that comment. Sorry. Just jumped out at me.
Okay, I want to run my thinking by Jessica and see if you agree with this. It's probably, and maybe even your thinking in preparing this. I think this is a big improvement over what we were looking at in October, because the situation that, as I understand it, is anytime the city creates a, or asks somebody to create a number, that represents population or projected, especially projected population or projected job growth, and then tries to rely on that number in order to build city policy. Persons who don't like the city policy can object to the numbers and say those numbers are too high, let's say. In fact, frequently that's what is exactly said, that these projections are too high, and we can find other experts that are, you know, because the city paid for some expert to do a estimate. We can find other experts that disagree, and so the whole thing gets, you know, have to go around the barn three times before you can decide whether you can use the numbers when the real objection is about the policy. This procedure apparently says, according to state, a new state rule, we're not going to do that anymore. We just have, here is the expert there, somebody at Portland State, and everybody has to listen to them. So that mm-hmm. it cuts out all of the going around the barn. And I think that's a major improvement in it, just in terms of process, because then we can start talking about the policy. People may still disagree with the city policy, but we don't have to fight about this, you know, these shadow boxes about numbers that takes up time.
Yep, that's exactly right, because the previous rule just said that there had to be a coordinated population forecast, and there was no specifics about how you had to do that, what methodology, and who was going to do it, and so that led to all those fights about methodology and high or low or medium growth projections. And so this is definitely much cleaner.
Any further questions of commission? I have a motion on the resolution.
My last question was kind of a pseudo question, because I was asking Jessica just to agree with me, but my thinking was made obvious in the question. I think it's a good policy. I think it's a good change. I move that we adopt the draft comprehensive plan amendment and make it our plan amendment.
Second.
Great. A motion to approve the draft amendment is the second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Seeing none. 4-0.
Yay. Wow.
So just a note, that changes at the top of the resolution to 3009 as well, and then the change to that.
Yes.
Table. Okay.
Yeah, so the version we have printed to actually be the legitimate one is changed to 309. Yes, that Bobby caught that.
Okay.
Items from staff. Well, Mr. Olson gets to speak.
Oh, that's right. It's down under items from staff. I can, wait, there's my item still. Okay, well, I'm really not ready yet. This is too quick. So I'll try to drag this out. So page 17 of 17, so the very last page in your packet, update on the downtown improvement plan. Mm-hmm. And so far we're, you know, just in early days on this. Alan is on the advisory committee, Doug is as well, and Louise. So we definitely have some plan commission representation on the committees, but so where we are in the process, we've got a consultant team, and some of these names will probably sound familiar. Parametrics, Leland Consulting, JLA Public Involvement, Greenworks, DKS is doing some of the transportation work. They're working on the TSP, so that was a nice connection to have. Rick Williams Consulting is looking at the parking, and then Kogan Owens Green looking at some of the land use or the planning code items. So it's a fairly large team, but I think they've worked together on a lot of projects fairly often, and Leland is really coordinating it, so I think it's actually working quite well. So there's a lot of specialized expertise, but mm-hmm. I think the communication's going well. So we have this 15-member advisory committee, and they've now had two meetings. They had an initial kickoff meeting And then the consultants and staff were really working on an existing conditions report, and then also market conditions. And they're pretty lengthy. They got us drafts on that, and we got some corrections, went back and forth. And then we had our advisory committee meeting, and they had a few comments on that. And so those are those two documents are now in sort of final form, and actually be getting them up on the webpage tomorrow. So if you want to glance through that, it's kind of a good snapshot, just existing situations. Some of the information, you know, a lot of like the land use things or urban design or things that you might have just intuitively known or picked up through this work. But there's some things that we haven't really had before, like a good count on parking. Just a number of parking spaces on the street and off street. That's really valuable information to have, and we didn't really have that. So, and then later in the process, they'll be doing some more work on utilization. So how much is that parking used? But at the very least, we have a good snapshot now on parking spaces. And then Mike Ragsdale from NDC did a count of housing downtown, which was another thing that people often had sort of a vague idea, but nobody had actually really written it down in one spot. So that also was valuable to have. Because that's a big part of the discussion. What do you want to see downtown as far as uses, but also as far as transportation improvements? And you know, if you don't know what you have now, it's, you know, kind of hard to understand where you want to go. So that's where we are right now. And really, the next big thing is going to have, we were calling it an open house, and we've gone away from that term because we actually want open house. I think sounds a little passive to people. It could be something where you show up and make some comments, listen, but it doesn't sound very active. So we've changed that to a downtown visioning workshop. So maybe I'm trying to imply we want people to work while they're there, but that'll be on December 9th. At the Cultural Center from 4:30 to 6:30. And it's really meant to be a visioning session, so there'll be a short presentation at the start to talk about the existing conditions and the market conditions to try to get some common base of knowledge out there for people. But then it'll really break down into groups and try to get people to brainstorm on, you know, what do you want to see downtown? In all aspects, land use and transportation. So we're looking forward to that, and you're certainly all invited. I mean, we're going to be sending out flyers to every email list we have and asking people to forward it to any group they know of that might be interested. But we're hoping we have a good turnout. So mark that on your calendar. Save the date, December 9th, if you're around. So I guess I just asked, do you have any questions? Oh, all right, I should mention too. So we do have a webpage up on the city site under the planning division. And there's lists there, the people on the advisory committee, meeting dates. If you were really interested in listening to a recording of the past advisory committee meetings, if you wanted to hear what happened, I know Kathy's gonna, since you'll have extra time tonight, we could replay those, but yeah. But then we'll be getting all the information up there, and under the supporting documents, we'll have the market conditions and existing conditions. So any questions from the group now? Or that's kind of where we are, and so we're just getting into the more creative part of it. So far, it's mostly been data collection, so.
Thank you. Update on council items.
Doug Rux again. So on October 19th, we did a work session with council on the America's Best Communities competition, and as well as our economic development strategy. So I'll go with the latter first. We've been working with the Chamber of Commerce and their economic task force since the 1st of March to put together an overarching economic strategy for the community. So we've gone through exercises such as what are the assets of the community, a strengths, weaknesses, threats, and opportunities discussion, who's involved in economic development in the past, who should be involved in economic development in the community in the future. From that work, we were able to prepare a draft of a vision statement a draft of a goal. From that work, then we prepared draft strategies, and we identified basically three pillars. One would be industrial, second being commercial, the third being business development and workforce. Under each of those strategies, I mean, under each of those pillars, there are nine strategies. So as example, under industrial would be having an adequate land supply, doing business retention activities, doing business recruitment activities. Under commercial, again, having an adequate land supply, doing retention activities, looking at events that would occur. Under workforce development and business development, coordination, having a skilled workforce within the community, that goes from K through gray, kind of the generic term that's used out there. So pulling in, you know, the Newark School District, PCC, George Fox University, Insight. Then there are actions that are listed out under each of these strategies. And we'll be starting on the metrics. We've done benchmark data gathering to understand kind of where we've historically been, where we're at today, and then be able to measure into the future. With all of that, there's kind of a core, there's a core group that's been identified. That is the Chamber, the Newburgh Downtown Coalition, the city, George Fox University, Austin Industries, a couple of the key developers within the community, and several of the financial institutions. And those are the conveners, facilitators, collaborator group. Then there's a second tier associated with it, which are people or organizations that we deal with on a regular basis in economic development. Groups such as Business Oregon, the Strategic Economic Development Corporation, which covers Marion Polk and Yamhill County, Regional Solutions Team, and a list of the utility companies, Northwest Natural, Comcast, Frontier, PGE, Yamhill County is another one. And so we, through the month of October, we were going out with the draft strategy and getting feedback from them. We'll be finishing that up over the course of the next week and then going back and reworking the vision, the goals, the strategies, the actions, and so forth, taking into consideration all the comments we got. And then we still got a third tier that we've got to touch, which are groups and organizations that we don't coordinate or collaborate with very often, but we need to be aware of and get their feedback as well. Probably look at doing that right after the first of the year, given the holidays are coming up. It's hard to get on people's calendars. When we get it all put back together again, then it'll be another round of going back and sharing with everybody, see if there's any more comments before we start bringing that forward. And when we do that, we'll bring it forward to the Planning Commission so that you have an opportunity to take a look at it. We'll bring it back to the council for some additional discussion as well. And then it'll lead to the question about how do you acknowledge this document somehow and what form that might take given all the different entities that are involved. But it's really fairly comprehensive. I mean, the feedback we've gotten thus far is we haven't had anything like this. It's comprehensive. There's a lot here. How do you do the division of labor? What's the priorities in strategies and actions? Which comes first? Which comes second? Which is more long-term in nature? And the group will have to work through that as well. The second piece was the America's Best Communities competition. That the actions that were identified originally back in the March, April timeframe, there were 10 initiatives identified in that. And this is a program that's sponsored by Frontier, the Dish Network, CoBank, and the Weather Channel. And so the first round of applications went in. The Chamber is leading that program as the applicant. Went in, we got into the quarterfinal round. That came with monetary funds with it. So there was $35,000 from Frontier, $15,000 from the Pac-12 network, which is our mentor for that program. And then the city matched it with $15,000 from Waste Management as part of the Green to Grow grant. With the money, what you were challenged and charged to do was to create a strategy for your initiatives. We looked at the 10. The 10 were too many to do given the time frame. We shortened that up to 5. Those 5 are vertical integration of the wine industry, an innovation accelerator, a business resource center, workforce development, and downtown revitalization. The last one is key because we already have the TGM grant, so we're working on that program, but we were able to fold that underneath the ABC as well. The consortium hired Echo Northwest to assist in putting together the plan, the very detailed components of that for those five initiatives. That document got submitted to Frontier on November 5th. It was due by November 6th, so we were a day early. So that's out. If you want to take a look at it, it's up on the Chamber's website. So if you go to their homepage, up at the top left, it has ABC, and you can click on it. And there's a document that's several hundred pages in length, if you like to read. The first 50 to 60 pages are actually the plan and the strategy for those five initiatives. The balance of it are the appendices and support documents that go along with it. So with that one, we're waiting. Somewhere around the middle of January, they'll make an announcement out of the 50 communities that submitted in this round, which ones will be selected to go and do a presentation. In Nashville, Tennessee, there'll be 15 communities. Then you get evaluated from there, and they narrow it down to eight. Those eight then have 11 months to start implementing their initiatives that they submitted. And at the end of that 11 months, then there's another evaluation, and they select the three finalists. The three finalists, first place wins $3 million to advance your initiatives, your plan. Second place gets $2 million. Third place gets $1 million. So we shared all of that with council over an hour, so I tried to do that in 8 minutes or less. We took forward to the council, and they approved repealing a development agreement with the Gablers. That goes back to actions about an extension of a water line, and then going back to the Measure 37, 49 claims and those issues that were there. They approached us about terminating that agreement. We agreed, so we brought that forward to council. The council ended up adopting an ordinance, repealing their prior ordinance. And then we gave an update just on the SP Fiber, the West Rock activities that have been going on with the announcements in the paper. On November 2nd, council adopted some new rules, some updates to their rules, council rules. Another piece that was talked about, and it's something that will come up and we'll try to get our IT people here at your next meeting, is to have emails, city email accounts for all of you. That way they don't go to your personal accounts. And so there's some protocols, and so I've talked with our IT director. It wasn't time to get on tonight's agenda, but we'll get that done in December. And so you'll have a city email address. That way your packets and communications will go to the city email. You'll get them off of your personal computer, your laptop.
Can I use my own server?
What's that? What's that?
Doug, yes. A follow-up on that. My husband came home tonight pretty upset. Have you seen the new Lane County case?
No.
Lane County had a case, and I don't know the exact details, but the appeals court ruled that if I send an email to Gary, and Gary sends that email to Phil, and Phil sends it to Dale, that's a serial meeting, and it is subject to the public meetings laws.
Correct. That case has been going on for a while. There was also one in
decided.
Beaverton that occurred where they were doing a public records request, and it required that they went into elected officials' personal computers because that's where they were receiving emails. And so we're trying to get out of that situation so that you have an account. So for the Community Development Department, it means the Planning Commission, the Historic Commission, and our Affordable Housing Commission having email accounts as well. So, yes, it plays into that. The last piece, it would be my understanding is that chairs of commissions will be giving quarterly reports to City Council coming up, and so that will be in 2016. We'll talk more about that. Yes, Gary, you get a repeat, I guess, until the first of the year. I don't have all the details on that yet, but they will be reporting. The department heads try to give a quarterly report
Take
as well.
Take your time.
To the council on activities that have been going on in the various departments. That's all I have.
Other reports, correspondence, letters?
I was going to add something under that section, number three. So you saw my letter that we sent to the Crag Law Center about the Wilsonville Road process, quasi-judicial versus legislative, and so just to make sure that everyone's on the same page, we're going to treat it like it's legislative, like I explained in the letter. That does mean that, since Patrick asked the question to me, if so that means I can talk to people about it, and I said, yes, you can. It's not the same as ex parte contact, but in the interest of disclosure and fairness, you should still disclose that at the meeting, any, you know, general tone and content of what you talked about. And so that's how we're going to approach that. And so we sent that response, and we haven't heard anything back from them since then. But we do expect that will be on the December 10th meeting, and fortunately for me, but unfortunately for Doug, I'll be on vacation. So I'll miss that meeting, and I'm kind of bummed about it.
What other than the website, what notice is given of the agenda or what's on the agenda?
Well, in this case, actually, a legislative action isn't required to send notice, but because it's impacting a specific area, ODOT is actually going to send the 500-foot notice to everyone within 500 feet of the intersection.
That's nobody.
But other than that, legislative actions don't require notice except for posting in the paper and in the graphic.
That.
And so it's hard to... So we put it on the website, we post in the graphic, and we do things like that. But otherwise, it's really hard to...
Because there's going to be
put that out.
Neighborhoods that are affected mile, two
sure.
miles away.
Yeah.
And 500 feet doesn't cut it.
Well, and again, here's where I'll start to kind of draw a line, is that you have a case that will be coming before you, so we shouldn't be talking about the specifics of the case. So Jessica's comments will just give you the highlight about the email that we sent to you with the Crag Law Center mm-hmm. information and the fact that we had evaluated it and concluded that it was a legislative action. Mm-hmm. So when it comes your meeting in December, I'm sure we will have a packed house that night.
Yeah.
I guess my concern is a packed house is one thing, but if it's not getting the word out to the neighborhoods who may be impacted, then they're not going to get...
I would say that there is a large segment of the population who is aware of it. They have been contacting Jessica about when this will be brought forward. She mentioned earlier in the meeting that there was someone who showed up at the counter today thinking it was tonight and was informed, no, it was going to be on the 12th of December.
Yes.
10th.
10th of December.
10th of December. So that word will get out. The graphic has also been, you know, tracking it. So I think there'll be ways that the word will get out there. But we will do the official notice requirements that we are required to do by
right.
law.
Okay. Phil?
Mr. Chair, yeah, I have a question. It goes back to something that Doug talked about, and I want to make this really a general question, and because it's been in the paper, and you mentioned it. One of the major employers in the town, SP Fiber, has announced that they're closing down a major industrial site. How does the changing status of the mill, or how might the changing status of the mill affect future planning over the next couple years? Pretty wide open question.
Commissioner, that is a very broad question. Right now, what we know is that WestRock has announced that they are idling the mill. Idling puts it in basically a mothball state so it could be restarted again if market conditions warrant. There was an article that came out within the last week kind of, again, reflecting that to look at those market conditions. The corporation has idled several mills across the country recently. Looking into the long term, you know, this body has talked about the riverfront plan in the past, and of course with the bypass going through there, that would need to be re-looked at as well. You know, a worst case scenario would be if the mill did not reopen, then there's, you know, what would this community like to do to look at revitalizing that area in the future? That would be a very different type of riverfront plan than the one that had been done before. The other side of the continuum is that the mill goes off of its idling mothballed status and reopens and is producing paper products again, and it continues to operate sometime into the future. And then there's lots of variables that are in between. Just don't know what those are yet.
Okay, a scenario that quickly occurred to me. In the debate and many communications with the Friends of Yamhill County about the South Industrial Urban Growth Amendment, they pointed to, what was the company near Fred Meyer? There's a Suntron. They pointed to Suntron and said, look, you're misjudging your industrial needs because Suntron is sitting here, it's an industrial site, and it's unoccupied. Then it became occupied by a different industry that moved in there, and so that objection fell away. That's just a small example, but it quickly occurred to me that at any time that we want to propose a urban growth amendment change in order to get industrial land, the Friends of Yamhill County will say, well, you've got a huge block of industrial land within the city already. It's unused. So there can be no need for any extra industrial land until this land is developed.
It's highly plausible that that statement could be made. And I would not be surprised by being made. But right now what we have is the situation is we have a corporation who owns a significant piece of property and improvements, a small portion which is within the city, disproportionately it's located in Yamhill County. And what will they be doing that with that facility in the future? Right now we do not know. We do know that it's been reported that on November 15th is when they were going to go into the idling situation. So when we go through and do and update the economic opportunities analysis, we're going to have to take the Westbrook facility into consideration.
Thank you. Next Planning Commission, December 10th, same time, same place. Is someone from engineering going to be attend that?
Our city engineer will be here.
Karen,
off of my right shoulder, going through all this. She will be the one who will be looking at it from all of the numeric components based upon what ODOT has provided to us.
And I don't anticipate any issues or problems, but because of the possibility of a packed house, are we going to have a police presence?
That's something I can check on.
I'm just thinking from the standpoint of control or keeping. I don't know if it's necessary. It's a thought. Mm-hmm. Items from commissioners.
Just a follow-up on what you were just saying. You figured out a way, Steve, for us to have the timer, the visible clock for speakers, right?
Well, I wouldn't take credit for it. Actually, Sue Ryan had worked out a method for doing that, and
okay.
I think worked with Bobby to get it set up. So,
credit.
But, yeah.
So we should be able to
yes.
do that.
Good point.
Yeah, especially for a public meeting. It is nice to have it very visible.
Mm-hmm. And will Truman be here, or is he needed? Or
at this point, no, the city attorney will not be here.
Any other comments?
I'll be sick.
I have a couple things. Regarding the ex parte contact, I find it curious. We have three county commissioners, and yet two of them meet or have met off and on continually, which makes a quorum. How does that happen?
Counties are in a unique situation because many of them only have three officials, and a meeting of two discussing an action that is policy related could be looked at and viewed as being a quorum of that particular body. And so my past experience has been a lot of times county commissions notice a lot more than what cities do because they only have three and they're meeting all the time, and so it's a meeting. The bottom line is they have to talk to their county council to get their guidance of what constitutes a public meeting.
Okay. Good point. And one last question, since we have the mayor here. I have a question rather than take it up with the council. I saw a report tonight on the news regarding the bypass construction in Dundee. I don't know if there's similar issues occurring in Newburgh, but it sort of appears to me that ODOT is sort of waving the fickle finger to the residents. I have a question, is the city of Newburgh and or Dundee doing anything to step up for their constituents? Because regarding report, what ODOT's saying, get an attorney and sue us. And I think that's conscionable.
You're addressing that question to me? We have not addressed it. We have not had it brought to our attention. It is not our construction project. It is ODOT's construction project. And whether we even could be an intervener or otherwise would have to be explored before I could even commit as to whether we would be doing it or not. Yes, there have been some problems.
Excuse me.
There have been some complaints made when they were doing some earlier work in the Newburgh area. And to the best of my knowledge, those complaints were resolved. There have been some recent complaints about noise, speeding, and what have you, that the exchange is going back and forth between a resident or a couple of residents and ODOT. But it is issues with ODOT and then the contractors that ODOT is supervising.
I'm aware of that, but I didn't know if the city has any oversight.
None at this point.
With the guards to being within the city limits? None.
Not that I'm aware of.
I just found it.
We do have, you know, when they were driving the pilings and so forth, there was the nighttime noise, and so there were some variances that were brought forward to the council for consideration for those actions to have that nighttime noise. But the bypass is being built on ODOT right-of-way that they purchased fee simple. They have two contracts that are out with the two prime contractors to do the east and the west legs of the phase one.
Okay, thank you. Anything further? Having none?
You've adjourned it.
Not yet, I haven't.
You just dropped it.
Well, I dropped it. I didn't commit.
We have, if I may, Mr. Chair, you have some terms that are coming up for expiring, and I would encourage those that are reaching that point to consider applying for reappointment. And I would look to the committee, but especially the chair, to for those that are not reapplying, to aid staff in finding recruits for filling those vacancies on the commission. They're coming up very shortly.
Who's coming up?
I do not have the list right now.
I think it is Commissioner Bliss and Commissioner Dale were two whose terms were coming up.
Those are the only two that I'm aware of. There should be one.
And I think they both responded back to the city recorder that they have an interest in being reappointed.
There's one other one, but I don't remember who it is.
So noted.
Luis, is this your senior year?
Yes, senior.
Have you found somebody to take your place?
Oh, not yet.
Are you finding somebody to take your place?
Yes. Yes.
I would just I point out that Luis's term goes through May 31st. So his does not expire at the end of the year. So you have to keep coming. Sorry.
All right. Meeting adjourned.
Do you want to talk to the mayor and to Doug?
Pardon me?
I can do it on my phone.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll talk to you first.
I don't know if that's a record.
Maybe we just rally around him. It's been our culture to do it this way. I think if we're going to do that, then we either have to be willing to stand up and say, I don't think you should be doing more, you know, support them to come through it. The problem is that there could be some errors you made.
We started this ride.
Serious. That's my concern.
I wanted to see that special about the bypass.
Pardon me?
I wanted to see that special.